Let's talk about kibud avroim. In this week's parasha, the mitzvah of kibud avroim is very prominently displayed. Yosef was sold as a slave to Mitzrayim. Rashi elaborates a lot on this. Yosef was there as a slave in Mitzrayim, first as a slave, but he ended up spending in Mitzrayim 22 years. Rashi goes through a long calculation of exactly how many years he was separated from his father, and he comes to the conclusion it was 22 years. He goes with very great detail, and Rashi makes it very clear why 22 years. Mida keneged mida, because Yaakov was not mekayim the mitzvah of kibud avroim for 22 years. Therefore, mida keneged mida, Yosef was not mekayim the mitzvah of kibud avroim for 22 years. I said it in words that are not really so accurate, but to say more accurately, maybe not, Yaakov suffered the tsar of being separated from his son because he was goyrim his father to suffer the tsar of being separated from him for 22 years.
Yaakov's children, should they suffer because of him? The generation, next generation, should get meeting connected?
You mean Yosef. You're asking a question that since Yosef was Namakayim the mitzvah, Yosef was not, why was it not his fault? He was able to call his father. Once Yosef also should suffer because he is separated. After Yosef became the viceroy, this is the age-old question. The age-old question is, why didn't Yosef contact his father and say, I'm alive? Okay, that's a separate question. It's a very difficult question, and there's no satisfying answer to that question. That's not our topic for today. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about... Okay, that's a topic that's it's a big topic. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's start. Rabbi Yisai, please. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, please. Rabbi Yisai, please. That is a very big topic as to why Yosef did not contact his father. We're not discussing that today. We're discussing the fact that Yaakov Avinu suffered by being separated from his son for 22 years, mida keneged mida, because he separated from his father for 22 years. Now, what's very interesting over here is that, you know, there are a lot of errors that our ancestors made. The Ramban is very critical of Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu, he went down to Mitzrayim when there was a famine, Hashem told him to go Lech Eretz Asher Areka, and Avram Avinu decided, look, there's a famine, I guess it's not meant to go be here, let me go down to Egypt. The Ramban criticizes Avraham. Choto Gedoylo Choto Avraham. He sinned a very great sin. These are very harsh words. We have many different... let's go to the Bris Ben Abasardim. Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena. Hashem says, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu says, how do I know? So according to some opinions, that was not the correct thing to say to Hashem. Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena. And because of that, we suffer. There's going to be a shibut because there was a lack of emunah. That's not so simple to say. Rashi doesn't say that, but there are all different situations in the Torah where individuals made mistakes. Mechiras Yosef. This week's parasha. The nine brothers, they brought Hashem into it. They sold Yosef. What's interesting though is this is just a small point out to analyze. Ruba de Ruba, in the Torah, when you will find the Ovois or the Ishei HaTanach doing Averois, Chas V'Shalom, I don't mean to say that, or there are things that were done that appear to be not correct, and Chazal, they hold them accountable, and there are consequences, it's very rare that we see in the Torah the people who actually committed the crime themselves suffer the consequences. We have a tradition that the reason why the Asura Haruge Malchus it happened, why they were killed, these 10 individuals, was payback for Mechiras Yosef. Okay, we suffer ad hayom azav yom pokti pokalti because our ancestors, they worship the eagle. So we suffer ad hayom azav. We're suffering. Did our ancestors, did they suffer? The truth is they did because they were in the Midbar for 40 years, but that's not only because of the eagle, that's also because of the Meraglim. It's a combination of the eagle and the Meraglim. It gets a little bit complicated. We'll discuss that in a few moments. What's interesting here is there are many different, you have to do an analysis, a study on this. I don't have the ability to do such a thing. I don't have the brains and the resources and all put all the dots together. But if you go through every single parasha and you take a look at the Ishei HaTanakh with a critical approach, and you look in the Rishonim, I'm not talking about Chas Shalom, what we would say, what it says in the Rishonim and the Gemara, where there are challenges to their behavior, and Chazal hold them accountable, and because of what they did, there are consequences. Did those consequences come to fruition in their own lifetime? Did they suffer themselves the consequence of what they've done, or the suffering and the payback, the punishment, came to a later generation? I don't know. You have to do an analysis. But one thing is for sure. Kibud avoim, the Torah shows you b'poyel, and Rashi just dwells upon it with an intensity. Yaakov Avinu was guilty of not giving kavod to his father for 22 years. Nida kineged nida, Yaakov Avinu himself suffered the consequences that his child was separated from him for 22 years. You didn't have to wait 10 generations for this to happen. Mechiras Yosef, they sold Yosef. Did the brothers suffer? Well, they did suffer. You can't say they didn't suffer. But the full complement of their suffering was not paid back for generations. And we're still suffering from it. Because if the suffering that the brothers had, okay, if the suffering of what the brothers did was paid back in their lifetime, then you wouldn't hear of a medrash that the reason why we have Asar Rogei Malchus is because of Mechiras Yosef. The brothers are guilty of a crime, so in their lifetime, Hashem punished them. Avol Hashemim Anachnu, they came down to Egypt, and they suffered greatly with during the time of the Ra'av and the whole story, how Yosef, who was in hiding, who was in disguise, accused them. They suffered. And they were ashamed. Avol Hashemim Anachnu, after Yaakov Avinu died, they came and they begged Yosef for forgiveness. Well, they did, they didn't. Ono chota ha'amazeh, whatever it is. They went and they begged Yosef not to take revenge. They suffered. They were humiliated. But if their humiliation was complete, then you wouldn't hear of these midrashim telling us that Asarugim Malchus is a consequence of Mechiras Yosef. Excuse me, we're done with that already. We're done with that. They've served their time. They committed a crime. They served their time. They suffered. They suffered immensely. We're done. Let's get on with it. Let's go further. The Chet HaEgel. They worshipped the Egel. 3,000 people were killed. Mila Hashem Elai. 3,000 people were killed. And the end was because in combination with the Meraglim, we had to remain in the Midbar for 40 years. And during those 40 years, all those people, they all died. So they suffered. We're done. We're finished. By the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, we've paid off our debt 100%. Yet Chazal over and over again tell us we're still being punished for the Chet HaEgel uviyoyim pokti pokadati. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but did you ever find the Chazal anywhere that says that Bizman Hazeh was still suffering for the chait of Yaakov Avinu abandoning his father for 22 years? Do you find anywhere? Chazal clearly hold him guilty. The proof they hold him guilty is because Yosef, was separated from his father for 22 years. And Rashi says there's no other way to look at it. 22 and 22, he did an Avera, he was punished.
It's not a coincidence?
No, not a coincidence. No coincidence. 22, Rashi says, look, Mida Keneged Mida. Oh, so and then that's it? Did you ever hear of a Chazal? Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe.
I understand Yaakov was he was instructed to go get married.
That's another. We're going to talk about that in a second. We'll cover that in a second. But let's just look at an overview. That's a separate question. That's a valid question. We'll talk about that in a second. But after everything is said and done, Rashi makes it very clear. It's not only Rashi, it's Chazal. 22 for 22, tit for tat. We're done. You never heard of a Chazal, at least I never heard of a Chazal, that says that Bizman Hazeh, here we are.
The brothers were punished,
right on the spot? They, when they came down to Egypt, when they came down to look for bread.
Oh, that's like a little tap on the hand, you know.
Oh, so you're saying it's a little tap on the hand, Kneged? Okay, you're right. The Cheta Egel, Yeah, Avram Avinu, when he said "Bamoeda ki Yiroshena," he's not the one who suffered for the lack of emunah. If you want to take the approach that when Avram Avinu said "Bamoeda ki Yiroshena," it was a lack of emunah. Did Avram Avinu suffer? No, the suffering was Yodoya Teda ki Ger Yezaracha Zarecha BeEretz Lo Elohem BeAvodim VeInui Oisam Arba Meyoshen. And not me. Avram Avinu is in Gan Eden. He doesn't have to deal with this. Generally, you don't find in the Torah where Ishaya Tanakh, who have done something that is not 100%, and Chazal criticize them, and Chazal point out that because of that event, that act, there were consequences, you don't find that they themselves had to suffer. The only thing that you find that stands out blatantly, an indiscretion, which was paid back in full measure in a person's own lifetime, is Kibud Avoim. Yaakov Avinu, Chazal say, he was lacking in Kibud Avoim for 22 years. He was paid back in full in his own lifetime, 22 years, Agmas Nefesh. Wow!
What about Korach?
Korach was swallowed up. What do you mean, Korach? What do you mean he's still?
He's still twirling, right?
I don't know. But you don't find what's going on. My high. The answer is, I think there's a very powerful limud Musar, and that is Laman, it says in the Pasuk, Kabeid Esavicha V'yasimecha. I don't remember the exact words. Laman Yitav Loch Ulaman V'harachto Yomim. Veschanan, Arichas Yomim. It says the bracha of Arichas Yomim in both the Aseres Hadibros of Parshas Mishpatim and the Aseres Hadibros of Veschanan, Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shniois. There's an explicit bracha of Arichas Yomim. Leman Yarichun Yomecha. Leman Yarichun Yomecha. Leman Yitavloch. And Lechoira, Ze Luumaze, the same way. A person that is involved in Kibud Avoim, he sees it in his own life. The bracha is Lema'an Ya'arichun Yomecha. A person who is lacking in Kibud Avoim, he will feel it in his own life. It's Ze Le'uma Ze. It's not just, I'm trying to say is that the negative side is also in the Torah. The Torah does not say in the Aseres Hadibros that if you do Kibud Avoim, you're meticulous in its observance, Laman Yarichun Yomecha. And if you don't, I'm going to be Mekat. It doesn't say that in the Torah. That if you don't, Anamekayim Kibud Avoim, I'm going to take away your life. It doesn't say it. I'm trying to say that it does say it. It does say it. Where does it say it?
Implication.
No, who says we have a right to make such an implication? Just because the person is not nizer in Kibud Avoim, so that means the Torah is going to make him suffer. It doesn't say he's going to suffer when it comes to other mitzvahs. Each mitzvah has its nisoyon, and whatever it is, it is. A person does the mitzvah properly, he's going to get reward. A person does do the mitzvah, so no, that's up to Hashem. Hashem, every single mitzvah, there's going to be a special curse, a special punishment, that if you don't do the mitzvah, you're going to be punished. Yet, I'm trying to suggest that the Torah does say it to us gently. That if you don't do it, there will be punishment. The Horaya, Yosef. Yaakov and Yosef. Yitzchak Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov failed in being mekayim the mitzvah to the utmost degree. I'm not saying this, the Chazal say. And therefore, look, he suffered. Mida keneged mida vayimoin lehisnachem. 22 years of misery. That's no small matter. Mida keneged mida. It doesn't say about other mitzvahs, oh, I didn't have emunah. I didn't have emunah. So Hashem says, listen, you didn't have emunah, Avram Avinu knew? Okay, it's okay. You know, you know there are going to be consequences, but you're okay. You'll die b'seva toivo, you'll die in good old age. And no, well, you're lacking in emunah, leave for another generation. It's specifically, it really stands out the two extremes of kibud avoim. The Olam talks about the extreme of reward. If you mechabed your parents, you spend time with them, you do what you're supposed to do, leman yarichun yomecha. But you don't see in the Svarim the warning that if you don't do it, there are consequences. Well, this week's parsha appears to pretty much scream out to us that if you don't do it, there are consequences in your own lifetime. You don't have to wait for the next world to suffer the consequences. Look, Milon, who's greater than Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov, you know, on his exalted level, was not Mekayim, the midst of Kibud Avoim, and he suffered quite a bit. 22 years, Vayimoin Lehisnachem, incredible Agmas Nefesh for 22 years, Mida Keneged Mida. That's a pretty interesting parallel to the pasuk that if you are mekayim the mitzvah, leman yarichun yomecha uleman yitav loch. Okay, that's one point I wanted to make. Now let's. I want to discuss over here. I have a fantastic sefer called The Fifth Commandment. This was published by Art Scroll, written by Rabbi Moshe Lieber. I don't know who he is, and he has some, as all sorts of very choshva haskamas from the Novominska Rebbe, Zeches Zak Livracha, Rav Yaakov Perlau, and he has from the Rosh Yeshiva of Nozon Zvi Finkel, Zeches Zak Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. You can see the handwriting. He signed his name, his handwriting. You can see that he had Parkinson's, terrible Parkinson's, the end of his life, but not end, a good part of his life. And you can see his handwriting of Nozon Zvi Finkel. You see his handwriting. You can see how hard it was to even sign his name. And it's a very, very chosh of a sefer. We actually once used it before. And I want to use this topic of spirit to discuss some of the interesting topics of Kibud Av V'Em. And we'll probably spend 2 days on this. So let's just get started with a few topics. Try to touch more on the controversial top elements of Kibud Av V'Em. Okay. And we all know, by the way, there are two major elements to Kibud Av V'Em, and that is Moira, fear, and Kovod. Ish, Imoy, V'aviv tirou, you shall be afraid of your mother and father. And there's a mitzvah of kabed es avicha v'yesimecha. So generally, every interaction a person has with their parents either involves honor or fear. Or maybe both, maybe you're right. So let's try to discuss some of these things. Let's first now focus on kovod. Now, everything is in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, it's really kedai to go learn. Maybe once upon a time we once learned this. I mentioned very when we stood far said the shir a long time ago, Baruch Hashem, we learned Aruch HaShulchan. I don't remember that we learned about Kibud Av V'Em, Aruch HaShulchan. It's interesting, by the way, where would you expect to find Kibud Av V'Em? In which section of Shulchan Aruch? In Evan Ezer? No, that's about women. you find it in Chesha Mishpat? No. Chayesh Mishpat, money. It's not really a money, it's a matter of honor and fear. Would you expect to find Kibud Av V'Em? I would think Archaim, I would think the average person would say, if you didn't know Shulchan Aruch, you assume you would find Kibud Av V'Em. It's like, you know, the basic Archaim, the ways of life. You wake up in the morning, you daven, there's Hilchas Shabbos, there is Hilchas Yom Tov, there is Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. There are certain things, basic, common, Orach Chaim, the way you live life. So every person, you're only alive because you have parents, and you deal with your parents all the time. I think you would guess if you were writing a Shulchan Aruch, where would you put the laws of Kibud Av V'Em and which chelik of Shulchan Aruch? I think many people would be very comfortable putting these laws in Orach Chaim, in the ways of life. Your parents have given you life, and you communicate with them on a daily basis, just like you talk. There's one interesting halacha that comes up again and again and again, and that is you only chayiv to give honor to your parents equal to Hashem, not more. And therefore, it's a classic yisoy that repeats itself 100 times in the laws of Kibud Av V'Em. How many times do you say Kriya Shema a day? Twice. Once in the morning and once at night. That's it. You only say Kriya Shema twice a day. When it comes to Kibud Av V'Em, you're not mechuyev to do something more than twice. Once during the day and once at night. Some people don't do that, don't even do that. But there's no inyan to be obsessive in matters of Kibud Av V'Em more than once a day and once a night. Do you stand for your parents? Parent walks into the room. He walks in the halacha, Shulchan Aruch. Me'ikar HaDin, not telling what we do, but Me'ikar HaDin, you're supposed to stand up when a parent walks into the room, to stand up fully. Okay, so the parent walks in the first time of the day, you see the parent walks into the room, you stand up fully, all the way up, to give honor, respect, the person walked into the room. And then, okay, time goes by, you leave the house, you come back a little bit later in the afternoon, the parent walks into the room again. Are you mechuyev to stand up, according to halacha? To stand up again fully? No. You're done. You stood up for your parent once, you're finished.
Once a day
and once at night. Why? You saw it? Because the honor you give your parents does not need to be greater than the honor you give Hashem. You mekabel ol malchus shemayim twice a day. Once in the morning, once at night. All the laws of Kibud Av V'Em go back. You don't have to give honor to your parents more than you give honor to Hashem.
If you're by the Shechina more than once a day, you have to stand up. If you're by Bris, you got to stand up. If the Sefer Torah comes up, you got to stand up. It's more than once a day.
No, Kibud Av V'Em, I'll read you the halacha. No, only once a day. There are different. You're asked if you take out the sefer, you go to mincha. You take it. Let's say a tiny sibur. So I take out the sefer Torah by shachris, and I take out the sefer Torah by mincha. I already stood up for the sefer Torah. Right. It's different. It's a little bit different. You can't really compare. It's different. But the general rule is the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. This is yisoid. Like, by the way, as a disclaimer, you don't really even need a shulchan aruch for Kibud Av V'Em. Everything about Kibud Av V'Em is intuitive. It's a svara. It's pashat. You don't, a lot of these things.
Just to get the schar.
You don't need a lot of these halachas, a lot of the halachas of Kibud Av V'Em, you don't need a book to tell you what to do. It's just basically obvious. And when there are exceptions, a lot of the halachas are just very, very, very simple. You don't need to make it complicated. Don't make something complicated when it's not complicated. Everyone understands what it means to treat parents with respect, to be good to them, to help them. When they need you to be there. When they don't want you to be there, don't be there. And to do what's normal, you don't need to make this into a science.
If they're not there, you have no direct need to keep it up. In other words, if they're not around, I don't got to go running to them to give them a cup of water. If they're not around...
Not necessarily. They need your company. All right, right. You cannot generalize. You cannot generalize. Every single parent and child is different. There are some parents, they don't want to see their kids. Don't bother me. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. So coming into their presence is an avera. You're causing them tsar. There are some parents, they want you to visit them every single day. There's a maysa, I'm not mistaken, with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Not necessarily true. It's not. There's a big. Everything is a mach. As you know, in the halacha is a machlokes. It's all seichel. There's a ma'aser. Ma'aser with the stipe. Okay, but
if you're screaming at you and you're having a difficulty with them, you don't have to go to the nursing home or the hospital to see them because you're going to be over not doing keeping it up. It's better halacha ma'aser paskin. Better to stay away.
In a situation like that, absolutely. You don't need a book to tell you that. You don't need a Shulchan Aruch to tell you that. That's obvious.
Maybe I have to go and get abused and still honor my parents and be there.
Okay. One thing at a time. We're middle of discussing why is Kibud Av V'Em in Yoredeya. Kibud Av V'Em is in Yoredeya dealing with kosher animals, non-kosher animals, trefos, chelev, basa b'cholav, taruvis, hilchos. What other ribis? Why are these things? Why are these things in Yoredeya? Teretz is Kibud Av V'Em is not just orachayim. It's not just there is a sanctity. The fact that Kibud Av V'Em appears in orachayim, there's an isser, a heter.
In Yoredeya,
not in Orachayim, is a revelation how Chazal. It's a revelation of how Chazal view the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. It's even a higher level than Hilchos Shabbos. I don't mean like Hilchos Shabbos, the Zechiv Chiv Koris. There is a layer of Isser V'Heter. Isser V'Heter represents, we have meat that's not kosher. Why is it not kosher? Hashem said it's not kosher. It's not just natural. It's a layer of following the laws of Hashem. If the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em would have been in the chelik of Shulchan Aruch called Orachayim, it would lead to an attitude like, you know, dad's my pal. Dad's my, you know, he's my best friend. Maybe I call him by his first name. If he likes my dad, you know, he likes that we should call him by his first name. You know, I know sometimes we'll go on a trip and, you know, you can do things that are a little bit disrespectful. It can turn the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em into a mundane mitzvah. You have to respect your parents, v'chulu v'chulu. It's not so. It's not always what you think and how you feel. My parents, they want me to call them by their first name in public, and they want me to sit in their seat. In our home, we have an open, the way we sit in the house is an open seating. No one has a permanent seat. I sometimes sit at the head of the table. Sometimes my mother sits at the table. Sometimes he sits at the table. How does my father, I say to my father, Jack. And my father calls me Rabbi Dr. Yehuda. My father calls me by my title and I call him by his first name. That's what it can, because that's how we operate. And we all, but everything is good and fine. That's not the way it goes. There are guidelines, whether you like it or not. The chelik of Shulchan Aruch of Yoredeya is exactly like that. When you're dealing with taruvis, there's no logic behind taruv. Why is it forbidden? These are the laws. Why is this piece of meat kosher and this piece of meat not kosher? Why is this animal treif, this called a treifa, this not called a treifa? Why? Why do you have to even slaughter an animal? How do you slaughter the animal? These are the rules, whether you like it or not. It's very, very true, as Dr. Dov was saying, there are many, many exceptions to Kibud Av V'Em, and a lot of Kibud Av V'Em has to do with the situation, and it's very hard to generalize. In many cases of when is it called a mitzvah, when is it not called a mitzvah, many times it's up to the will of the parent. The parent doesn't want you to do this, you don't do it. If the parent is angry at you and you being there, you're just going to aggravate them even more, you don't do it. There are many, many exceptions, and a lot of Kibud Av V'Em is logical, but don't allow that basic rule that everything is logical by Kibud Av V'Em lead to an attitude of dealing with parents, a cavalier approach to the mitzvah.
If that's why it's listed on the first gift, that is not with the second gift.
That it's part of between you and Hashem, exactly. It's the same exact idea. It's included in the Chelik of Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. Osir mutter. Do you know why this animal is kosher, this animal is not kosher? Do you understand why, if there's a hole in this part of the animal that's kosher, not kosher, a taruvis, melicha, and all? This is the way Hashem's, these are the rules. You don't have to understand the rules. These are the rules, whether you like it or not. Kibur avoeh mitzad echad. There is a human relationship. And in a human relationship, you have to understand the person, what he wants, what he does not want. So you can't generalize. But mitzad sheni, there is a semblance of kibud avoim, a structure of a family in Klal Yisrael that has basic guidelines that cannot be played around with. This is the way it is. This is osur and this is mutter. You don't call your father by his first name in the presence of other people. There's no exception to that. There's no exception. Don't say, but my father, he wants me to call by his first name. There are meheterim to call your father by your first name privately. If your father wants you to call him by his first name privately, it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole sugya. Okay, maybe that can be done. But it is categorically forbidden to call your father by his first name in his presence publicly. That you're not allowed to go do. What? Yes, only Me'ikir HaDin in his presence. There's no exception. What do you mean? By the Goyim, if this is what we want to do, you know, that's my father, that's how he wants. No. Kibud, there's a major element of Kibud Avoim that's not up to you. It's Isser Veheter. Like you said, the Aseres HaDibrois, it's on the tablet that deals with Adam LaMokoyim. Not on the tablet, but Adam LaChaver. Oh, but the whole mitzvah from beginning to end is an Adam LaChaver. That's the whole mitzvah. You're supposed to give them to eat, to give them to drink, to escort them, put on their shoes. You're supposed to take care of them. You're not allowed to contradict them. You're not allowed to sit in their place. You're not allowed to call them by the first. So you're dealing with people. Adam LaChaver. Yeah, but when you're dealing with people, you have to do the Ritzoinai Shel Adam, Zeu Kvoidai Shel Adam, Ritzoinai. I forgot which way it goes. The honor that you give to a person is what they want. If this is what the person wants, this is what you get. That's the honor. Yes and no. There's a structure in Klal Yisrael of an Av and a Ben, and that basic structure is sacred and cannot be violated no matter what you think, what you want, no matter how you feel. There is a semblance of Av Ubein. That's on the first tablet. It's in the Chelik of Yoredeya, with all the rules of Isser Veheter, not with Orachayim, which is, you know, this is the way we do things here. Welcome to America. We do things here differently in America. No, it's not. This is Yoredeya. It's not your decision. Get with the program. You don't sit in your father's seat whether you like it or not. In a home, there's a semblance. This is your father's seat. You don't sit there, period. This is your father's name. You don't call him by his first name in his prayer. Certainly not in public, in front of other people. There are many, many rules of Kibud Av V'Em which are Isser V'Heter. Okay, that is a very powerful yisoid. Yeah. Okay, so Baruch is over here. Baruch is the expert on this, okay. Calling up the father. So they have a little. I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed in this saver because it really is a very, very big sugya. The whole thing of calling bichlal, the obligation to call a person, is there such an obligation? It's a very big sugya. Over here in this sefer, for whatever reason, they just reduce the whole thing to one paragraph, and they don't really give you any other, they don't really present the other tzad. And here in this sefer, Rabbi Lieber says that a child should never call up his father. Well, let me explain like this. There are two things. Let's explain. Two things. Number one is if you are the gabbai and you're calling up your father, so he writes here, without any exception, you call up Ya'amoid Avi Moiri Shlishi. Ya'amoid Avi Moiri Chamishi. You don't call up, when you call your father to stand, to come up, you do not call him by your father, you don't call him by his name, Avi Moiri. Now, what about if you're calling up your brother? I'm not calling up my father. I'm calling up my brother. Ya'amoid, Moshe, Ben, So now, what do you say now? Do you say Avi Mori? That's the minhag, right?
If you have two brothers. You have three brothers.
What?
I, Baruch Hashem, have one brother.
Okay.
Some people have three brothers.
Okay, what's the difference?
So he says, Yamol Achi.
No, not Achi, right. There's no such thing as saying Achi. When you call him a brother, there's such a minhag that you can say Achi? If your brother would be there, there's no halacha to say Achi, you have to say your brother's name. Moshe. That had by the
Achi Moshe Yehuda.
Achi ben Avi Moiri. Avi Moiri. Yamoid Achi ben Avi Moiri. That appears to be the common minhag. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say you get an aliyah. And they call you up, Yamoid Moshe ben Yaakov. Misha Beirach, after they want some kesef, right? After the aliyah is over. Misha Beirach, Avasenu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Hu Yivorech, S. What's your name again? The whole shul should listen. I forgot your name. What's your name? My name is, what I say? Moshe ben, my father's in shul over here. My name is Moshe ben Yaakov. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? The Gabbai forgot your name, or he wants to give you an aliyah. You don't want to give you an aliyah. I give my father an aliyah. Nah, your father got an aliyah last week. I want to give you an aliyah. My name is Moshe ben Yaakov. You got to do that? Your father is within earshot. Let's say your father is within earshot. Let's say by the beam where everyone is listening and they ask you your name. When you say ben Yaakov, you're not calling your father. You're referring to your father by his name in public. Right, this is all part of the dilemma. Now, you can't compare that case to the case of when you're calling your father. Ya'amoid, if I'm the Gabbai, Ya'amoid, Yaakov, Ben, Shloima. So that I'm addressing my father. Oh, that's a cardinal sin. Ya'amoid, I'm calling my father. Ya'amoid, stand up. Yaakov, Ben, Shloima. That's a very big problem. Because that's Moira. Moira is not to address your father by his name in public, in the presence of other people. Now the problem though is that there is an inyan that he doesn't really get into all the this is a big, really it's a big story. Halacha l'maisa, we know, right? Baruch, you've never heard otherwise. If you're the Gabbai, and the Gabbai calls up his father, he's calling up his father for an aliyah, Yamod Ovi Moiri. That's it. That appears to be case closed. Right, there are people who tackle hold that even the Gabbai is allowed to. I was very disappointed because he doesn't discuss this in this. If he does, there's one paragraph on this. But
What about the rabbi, the father, to call the rabbi of the shul? What about the rabbi?
It's not your father. The rabbi is different. Yavoid Marenu. What is the exception? The title. So that's also how it comes into the father as well. Let's lay out the inyanim. But halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, the minag Yisrael, as far as I've seen all over universal, is whenever you refer to your father, you say Avi Moiri. Whether you're calling up your brother, whether you're calling up your father, whenever you refer as a Gabbai, and you have to make reference to your father, Ya'amoid, your brother basically, Ya'amoid, Moshe ben Avi Moiri, you don't say your father's name. Let's say you are being asked to be called up. They come over to you, I want to give you an aliyah, what is your name? And your father is present in front of you, and people are in the vicinity are listening, even the Gabbai himself. Is it respectful for you to say, my name is Moshe ben Yaakov? How can I say my father's name in his presence and another person is listening to the Gabbai and my father's right there? It's not respectful. So the solution is you never should say just the name. You should say Ben Rav or Reb. You always to give a title. And the title takes away, that already shows hachno and respect. If your father is within earshot of of a gabbai asking, what is your name? My name is Moshe ben Reb Yaakov. Or lie. Today you could lie if everyone lies about this. Ben Rav Yaakov. Or say, Rav HaGoyin. Okay? Lie. You say Rav or you say Reb.
Your father considers
themselves the Rav. All right. You should say at least Reb. Reb.
Reb is my
son. Reb.
Is good enough? Well, you have to say Rav HaGoyin.
Reb is good enough. I don't tell my story there. This takes away the prohibition. That's what it says here in the book. That's what it says. A lot of these of achronim. All the laws of kibravo aim, they're not etched in stone. They're not on the luchas. You know the old famous, it's not a joke, it's a pretty bitter joke. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have seen the 21st century, he never would have etched in the luchas Kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha. He would have etched in the luchas Kabeid esbincha v'yasbitecha. We live in a generation where parents are scared of their children. A baruch. Wait 1 second. A baruch. He's the gaba. He knows this stuff.
I'm this from a different angle.
Yeah.
I had this sold my wife to be an Eidei Kedushim by both Satmar Rebbe's, current Satmar Rebbe's, and Vina Rav.
Which one? Moshe?
The current Satmar Rebbe's.
Of Arav Zalman.
And the Vina Rav.
Yeah.
And they all said the same thing. So first of all, they took out a napkin. They said, write your name on the napkin. Very simple, because they won't be able to read your name. If you assign the ksuba, they can't read your name.
Right, of course, okay.
So
okay.
First you sign it on a napkin.
A napkin? Why not a piece of paper?
Paper.
So this way...
They know what your name is.
They know your name. And they told me, do not... My name is Baruch. No Rebs. No Ravs, no Rebs. Then... My father's name.
Correct.
All three of them said the same thing.
Do not add titles.
No titles.
Do not add titles. Just write your name when you sign for your father also.
Obviously for my son, my father.
No titles.
No
titles. When you sign, do not sign. Just sign your name with no titles. And in the ksuba itself, by the chassan and kala, what do they write?
They write Reb.
In for the Chosn and Kala, HaChassan Denan Shloima Ben, they write Reb Moshe?
Well, I know they write it, but I think the
Chosn
they definitely call
Reb. The Chosn, on the Ksuba, the Chosn, the parents of the Chosn and Kala, do they write that they're a Reb?
I don't really.
Okay. So that's the big machlokes, because you're an aide, you as an aide, you're the Toikev Hadover, so they don't want you to add any titles. But there is a machlokes, the different opinions, is that when they refer to the chosn and kala, the chosn, let's say, is Moshe ben, so let's say his father is a Rav, is a Rosh Shiva, Moshe ben Yaakov, or Moshe ben Reb Yaakov, or Moshe ben Harav Yaakov. Rav Moshe Feinstein's son gets married. Rav Reuven Feinstein, so what do they wrote Reuven ben Moshe, or do they write Reuven ben Harav Moshe?
Go check it out.
It's a machloikis. It's a machloikis what you're supposed to do.
In the ksuba, they refer to the cousins
around. Then certainly they're going to refer to the parents. To the parents. Okay, let's get back to this. So here's the issue.
By Chassin is also, would make you write your name out.
It's practice to see what you're going to write.
He wanted to make sure you were spelling your name right.
Yeah.
Such as mine, Dave, with a vav, without a vav.
They can read it. They can read your signature.
Well, they can't read it when you wrote it on the napkin. They can't read it on the
ksuba. Okay, we have only a few minutes left, so we're running out of time. So David, this is the very beginning. When a person gets called to an ali, when you call up a parent, you don't call them up by it. Now, what are the issues? The issues are there is an inyan. It's not a halacha that when you call to be called to the Torah by your name. It's a very Kabbalistic, powerful concept. That a person, the Torah it's unfortunate today that we don't appreciate the Chomer Hadavar, Sefer Torah, the Kedusha Sefer Torah, and you're in shul and they say Ya'amoid, and they call up a person to come to the Sefer Torah, there is a life to this. this, you know, it's like, think, we don't appreciate that the Sefer Torah is a living organism. If you go to, let's say you go to a big Rebbe, and they call up and they say, and the Rebbe is sitting there, holy, holy person, the Melech HaMashiach is, make the Melech HaMashiach is here. He's sitting in the room, and the Melech has a Gabbai, and the Gabbai says, Rabbi Cohn, in front of the whole assembly, Rabbi Cohn, can you please come forward to the Rebbe, to the Melech HaMashiach? Isn't that a tremendous covet that the Melech HaMashiach is listening? And the Gabbai says, Rabbi Cohn, please come forward. The Rebbe wants to the Rebbe, he's going to give you something. Versus, you, go to the Rebbe. Yeah.
When, it's even more so, though, when you walk by your name. I've seen an end up, Mechubit with Yosef ben Moshe.
When you, there is an inyan to be called by, there is a Kabbalistic inyan to be called up to the Torah by a name.
Hello?
Okay, wait 1 second.
And the Ben part is part of your name.
Exactly.
It's not your fault.
So when you go and you say, when you go and you get an aliyah, and you're the guy, and you want to call your father, 1 second, and you want to call your father, we have to stop mamish on time here, they're going to kill me, we don't stop on time. When you are the guy, and you're calling your father for an aliyah, it's a problem. Because you're denying your father, whatever it is. You see, unfortunately, the Gaboyim today, unfortunately, not everyone's like a Baruch, and not everyone takes the job of a Gabbai seriously. There is a tremendous Kedusha in being a Gabbai. And the Koyach of making Mishrach, it's a shame, making Mishrach. Mishrach, either the Gabbai makes the Mishrach, mumbles the words, doesn't know what he's saying. People answer Amen. So, Amen Yisoyim sometimes. What are they answering Amen to? There's a tremendous koyach. You're in front of a Sefer Torah. There's the Kedusha Sefer Torah. To make the Mishaberach with kavana, with feeling. It's incredible what a Gabbai can do. And likewise, when the Gabbai says, Ya'amoid, Moshe ben Yaakov, it's tremendous koyach. Today, it's like the whole thing doesn't even exist. You're talking to the walls. You tell people these type of things. But when you call a person by their name, they gave you a name at your bris so that the day should come when you should be called to the Torah by your name. So if you have a child, it's a tremendous bracha. Some will say that's the biggest bracha. The biggest bracha. My child calls me up. Ya'amoid avi moiri. What more can you possibly want? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're talking right, that the fact that the one that calls me up is my child, I don't need any name. This is the Gresta Nachas, that my child can call me up to the Torah. Maybe you're right. Others will argue, no, you have a child, this is the Gresta Nachas, but there's also a Nachas that the Torah should call you up. You should be called to her by your name. And if your child is saying, Ya'amoid Avi Moiri, you lost out. When they gave you a name at your bris milah, my shame, it's not being associated with the Torah. People, they spend a lot of money to buy a letter in a Sefer Torah. What letter do you buy? You buy the letter, the first letter of your name. People say their name, they say a pasuk when they finish Shemoneh Esrei every single day in order that their name counts for something. Rachman was on the person when they pass away, before they bury the person, they say to them, don't forget, this is your name. This is your name. The name counts. They give you a name by the bris. They call you to the Torah. A child calling up his father, he's in a very big dilemma. Mitzad echad, you can't address your father like that. It's an isser, a violation of Moira. Moira, you have to fear your father. You can't go in front of a tzibur and say, Dad, Jack, get up here. That's disrespectful. So you want to lighten it by saying, Ya'amoid, Ovi Moiri, Yaakov and Shloimoi. That's not so bad. And some people hold that's what you should do. You should, the way you take away the prohibition is by giving your father a title of kavod. Ya'amoid Ovi Moiri, Yaakov ben Shloimoi. But just to say Yaakov ben Shlomo, that's a nightmare. But Mitzad Sheni, you know, your father wants to, you know, there's an indicator by the name. You know, what is the best solution? The best solution by far is someone else should do it.
Yeah.
The Gabbai Sheni, that's the best solution. Same way you can't call yourself to an aliyah, the best solution is have the Gabbai Sheni call up your father. That way your father has the maila of having his name being called to the Torah, plus you're not disrespecting him because someone else is doing it. Now you'll say, but the Adarabah, because since it's unusual, everyone in the shul is used to the voice of the Gabbai, and when you start doing something different, it causes a disturbance. You know, there's a lot of psychology in this. And also there's a whole topic of discussion, is there a chiyuv to call up a person by the name? To call up a person. It's a very strong minute. So can you have a shul where people just walk up on their own? They walk up on their own, and they give out the aliyahs beforehand, they give them the cards, just walk up. No, you're supposed to call up, it's not so simple. I don't know, it's not so simple if people just walk up and take the aliyahs. There isn't anything to be called to the Torah. Now, when you call to the, do you need to be called by name? Or can you say, Ya'amoid Shlishi, Ya'amoid Revi, Ya'amoid, just yeah. So there should be an announcement, the person who is supposed to be called should be called. Is that the only thing that needs to be done? Maker Hadin? Maybe. Let's say Ya'amoid Harosh HaYeshiva. That story. So it's not the only, I have other stories like this. Someone told me a horrible story where there was a yeshiva, and there were a few Russian yeshivas. And each one thought, the person told this to me firsthand. The story goes back firsthand. I heard and I believe every word he said because I know it's true. And there was a yeshiva, and there were a few Russian yeshivas, and each yeshiva, mamish, thought that he's the Gadol Hadar. They didn't just think that they were the yeshiva, they thought they were the yeshiva of all. And it was a tiny sibur, and he said, Ya'amoid Horosh HaYeshiva. And three people started shuffling to walk up.
It was a high yeshiva or yeshiva?
Rosh HaYeshiva, he had in mind one person, he told me who he had in mind. And he saw three people started coming up. Would you believe it?
So what did he do?
Okay.
He quickly said a name.
I don't know. He didn't tell me what he did. He says, Rosh, he said, that was ugly. That's really ugly. So obviously, this disturbs me. So I don't say, don't you have to call a person by name? Isn't there an inyan to call a person by their name? It's when it comes to the case of a parent, that's a problem in your day. You're not allowed to call your parent by name in public. You're not allowed to. Mitzad Sheni, is it a halacha? Got to check into the halacha or akpada. You call. Yeah.
But if he's quoting something from his, right. The Magid Shir is quoting something that's from his father.
Okay. To finish out, when you make a mishaberach, it's also a problem. Mishaberach, avasenam yitzchak Yaakov huyvarich es. What's your name? I forgot your name again. My name is Moshe ben Yaakov. Oh, your father's in shul. Not so posh.
So when you're making a mishpach for your father.
Not so posh. You make for your father, right? So therefore, you have to be at least. There's no solution. There is no solution. The very least, is every time you refer to your father, you must say Avi Moiri. Add the words Avi Moiri before you say your father's name. That takes away the problem to a very large degree. We're out of time. I'm Rechon Ben Akashi. 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 I'm Rechon Ben Akashi.